It's a privilege to be sharing with you the Word of God and to worship with you. I am going to read just one piece of scripture, and it's from the book of Joel. That's somewhere in the Old Testament, right? The book of Joel, chapter 2, and I'm reading verses 25 to 27. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. So, Joel chapter 2, verses 25 to 27 from the New King James Version. And this is how it reads. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Amen. That's God's word, and we give him thanks for it. Well, at the time of the prophet Joel, which was about 835 BC, quite a bit of time, right? Israel was divided into two kingdoms. I know you all do lots of studies, so this is probably just reminders. Okay? So there was the southern kingdom and there was the northern kingdom. And Joel was a prophet in the southern kingdom. And he was prophesying at the same time as Elisha was a prophet in the northern kingdom. They have to be two prophets in the two kingdoms. Now, if you want the topic, it's restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. That's the short version. And I've been listening to John. So if you want the longer version, it's look at me, because I am going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So here's the context. God's people had suffered the destruction of their entire harvest by swarms of locust. Now, if I had more time, I'd probably give you a lesson in locust, because I come from South America and we had farms, and sometimes rice field, etc., they are destroyed completely by locust. We don't have time for that bit tonight. Well, let me read for you what Joel said in Joel 1, verse 4, and the same thing is repeated in Joel 2, 25. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. So what we have here are four different kinds of locust, one after the other, to devour whatever was left from the previous set of locust. Does that sound a bit like this? One disaster after the other. Trouble after trouble. And just when you thought it can't get any worse, here comes another set of locust. And it does get worse. As soon as you get over one issue, another one has come. As soon as you finish paying one bill and thought it's over now, here comes another bill. And not just another bill, but a bigger bill. And just when you scrambled to get enough to sort that out, something else knocks at the door. God's people were brought to their knees, relentless. So, I want us to ask ourselves this. What does locust years look like for us? Well, you might have your own ideas, right, and thoughts. That's good. But let me share with you some that I've put together. Locust years are fruitless years. Think of the hard, back-breaking work these people put into cultivating their crops. Weeks and months. And then as the harvest was nearing, the locust arrived and cleaned out the lot. And I suspect some of you know what that feels like. A failed venture or a bad investment. You invested so much effort and resources into something, and you were so hopeful. And after all your work and your efforts, you ask yourself, how did I end up with only this? After all that I've done, all the time, all the resources, all the effort, how did I end up only with this? Locust years are fruitless years. Secondly, locust years are painful years. And right now, I'm thinking about folks who have lost a loved one. With that person, you had plans for the future, and you carefully mapped it out. But now, that person is gone, and your whole life has changed, and life appears to be empty. And as I prepared this message, I thought of people who experience certain health conditions, conditions of the body and the mind. Painful years can happen to any of us at any time. Locust years are painful years. Locust years are also selfish years. Now I want you to picture a person with me. This is an imaginary person, right? That's what you have to imagine. And this person is called Jimmy. So Jimmy made a commitment to Christ, but it never ran very deep because Jimmy lives a very busy life. A life that is full of all the things that Jimmy wants to pursue. Then one day, God gets hold of Jimmy and he is spiritually awakened. And he looked at his life for the past years and concluded, it has been all about me. Jimmy is awakened and he begins to see other people in the church, what they are doing, how they are serving, how they are sacrificing for the sake of Christ. And he says to himself, what on earth have I been doing? I've been calling myself a Christian, but there has been no great substance in my faith. How could I have been so shallow for so long? And Jimmy comes to a new place and says, the locusts have eaten so many years of my life, but I want the rest of my life to count. I now want to live for Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and make a difference in the world. The key point here, one of the key points, is that locust ears are selfish ears. Locust ears are misguided or misdirected ears. For example, the career path that I chose was not a bad choice, but I ended up with something else. You know, you went to university and did one degree for something, and you probably never did much of that thing in your life. You ended up with something else. You look at your life now and say, how did I end up here? And you find yourself saying over and over, again and again, if only. If only I had made a different choice. And you are left with a profound sense of having many locust ears. I'll share with you one more. Locust ears are Christless ears. Now, if you ask anyone who became a Christian later in life, they will tell you they wish they had become a Christian earlier. You've come across those people, haven't you? Right. But I don't know if you have, but I've never met a person who wished they had become a Christian later. Never. I've never met one. Locust ears are Christless ears. And locust ears come in many forms. And it's a reality for so many people. Locust ears. Reality for so many people. And I believe it's probably a reality for some of us here today. Let's look a little bit about, because all the answers are there in God's word, in that text. Some of the reasons for the locust ears. You know, sometimes I think you get the idea that locust ears are bad, right? Okay, so we get that bit. That's clear. Locust ears are bad times. And sometimes we wonder whether bad things come from God. And this is a big theological question that sometimes even the most spiritual of us wrestle with. Is it God's judgment? Is it just natural circumstances? Does it come from the devil? Or is it our own bad choices? Does it happen just because we are in the wrong place at the right wrong time? Well, I don't know what you think. But you see, for me, maybe we can answer all of the above. Look at this. Pay attention to this. In the last part of verse 25, it says, God says, my great army which I sent among you. Hello, this is God. And we've got four kind of locusts that have just caused devastation for 4 years to the people in the southern kingdom, brought them to their knees, and God says, they are my great army that I use to work wondrous things among you. You see, one of the challenges for every Christian is to accept that some of the things that we do not like, the locust ears, can be sent or be allowed by God to come into our lives for a purpose. That's a hard, hard message to take. Crops completely wiped out. And God's telling them, I did it. And I did it. And it's a wondrous work that I did. Just look at me. I did it. I want to quote something for you. It's from a revivalist, an evangelist, an American evangelist by the name of Vance Havner. And this is what he says. God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop. Broken clouds to give rain. Broken grain to give bread. Broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever. So, let's look at something more positive now. How can God restore to us the years that the locusts have eaten? That's the topic I'm talking about. Look at me. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. How can God do this? Well, look. If you lose money or property, there are various ways in which these can be restored, right? You can restore an old painting. You could restore an old house. Relationships can be restored. But do you know that the one thing that cannot be restored is time? When it's gone, it's gone. Time moves on. You probably come across this saying that time and tide wait for no man. That's why this moment is the most important. When the wind of opportunities blow, when the Spirit of God is moving, grab it, because this time isn't coming back. It's gone. It's impossible, humanly speaking. And here is our God saying, look at me, because I am promising you that I am going to do the impossible. I will restore time, the years that the locusts have eaten. So let me read for you from the different versions how this reads, this verse 25. In the King James, I've already read to you what it sounds like in the New King James. The King James, well, we've done that. So in the NIV, it says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, I will make up to you for the years that the locusts have eaten. And then, of course, we have in the King James or the New King James, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. So, let's work through this a little with the little bit of time we have left. I don't think I need to ask you what age group we've got here. I know we've got 40s. Any 30s? No. We've got 40s. We've got 50s. And then we just go up, right? Okay. So that's the kind of age group we've got here. So let me ask you. How many of your years have the locust eaten? Quite a few. Good man, Judge, for being so honest. Quite a few. Well, let me tell you something. Look at me. Because I am going to give you back the years that the locusts have eaten. So, the easy bit was to tell you that God is going to do the impossible. Now the harder bit is to tell you, what does it mean for God to give you back time, to restore the years that the locusts have eaten? And I can tell you, this thing took me some time to sort out, and I still haven't sorted it out yet. So I'm waiting for further revelation, right? But here goes. Here is my feeble attempt. Restoration means the future. Let me explain. Some people think that restoration means going back to something. To reach into the past and recapture what we left behind or the way we used to be. So if I say I'm going to restore your youthfulness, you're probably thinking, wow, he's going to make me 16 again. Right? So you want to go back to the past to be what you used to be. The irony of the meaning of restoration in the Bible is that it requires us to take a step into the future and not back to the past. That's the irony of restoration. Did you all get that? It requires us to take a step into the future and not a step back to where I was and what I used to be. Albeit that is what I think I want to recapture. Some of us get locked in grief, pity, sorrow, because all we see is what we've lost, what was taken. We see wasted time, wasted opportunity, and we count the cost of years that the locusts have eaten. And God is saying, I can give it all back to you. And here is the key bit. Much more. But you have to take a step forward. You got to keep moving forward and not try going back to retrieve what you used to have. Let me read something for you from Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. Now, I really love this end of it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's hallelujah stuff right there. Amen. So restoration means, yes, I want to recapture what I think I had and used to be. And God is saying, I'm going to do it for you. But you can't go back to get it. You got to move forward. That's the irony of it. So let's progress this. It means the future. It also means creating something new, like what we've just read in Isaiah. We have to allow God to build for us something that was never there. Now, we get a sense of this in verse 24. And let me read for you what God says. The threshing floor is going to be full of grains. Vats are going to overflow with wine and oil. And then verse 26 says, you shall not eat just adequately as you used to eat, but you shall eat in plenty. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. He's going to take you and put you in a place of plenty. He's going to move you from broke to plenty, from being hungry to being satisfied. But God did not stop there, because that sounds like, well, yes, that's where we were before. He said, I will bring you not only to a place of plenty, but to a place of praise. And there is a reason for this. Life had been so tough, and the drama of hardship had been so painful, that you found it difficult to truly worship God. But I bring you good news. The prophet of Joel speaking, I bring you good news. He's going to bring you to a place where you can praise him, not just as you once did, but you are going to praise him in greater ways. I am going to restore to you the praises the way you used to praise me, but I'm going to do it in a new way. He's going to give you the ability to celebrate and worship like you've never done before. A bit like you're going to be able to sing without John having to play the music. You're going to be singing without music. You're probably going to run without anyone chasing you. You'll probably be crying, but it is not because you are sad. I'm going to restore to you your joy and your praise and your happiness, but in a far greater and different way and format than you're accustomed to. Yes, the locusts have eaten it. Yes, they were locust years, but they're going to come back, but in a different format. Remember the gospel tell us that there was a woman who lived a sinful life, and she came to Jesus and poured expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. Remember that story? She came to this house of career professional people who are doing well for themselves. And she kneels at the feet of Jesus and she worships. And Christ forgave the sins of her locust years. And the folks in the house were embarrassed by the extravagance of her worship. And here is the irony. They were also enjoying fellowship with Jesus around the meal table. But this woman was worshiping at his feet, and she was enjoying a far deeper communion. And this is what the prophet Joel is saying. This is what God, through the prophet, is saying. I'm going to restore your praise, yes, but you are going to have it in a different and greater way. You are going to have a deeper communion and fellowship with me. Christ can restore lost years by deepening your fellowship with him. Years are lost. I am not what I should have been. Now where I need to be. Is that you? Why not then tell him, Lord, I've spent too many years at a distance from you, or maybe too many years without you. Now fill my heart with a new love. Let me think I have time to share with you one more what restoration means. So we've got, it means the future. It means creating something new. And it means multiplication. It means multiplication or restitution. Now, let me try and explain this. Take Zacchaeus. He was under so much conviction because of his bad business deals that he told Jesus, what did he say? I will restore fourfold of what I have taken from others. That's restitution and restoration. But it's also multiplication. Because he's not just giving back the amount he took. He's giving back four times. I will give four times the amount I cheated every person of. The people of God had the harvest wiped out for 4 years in a row. And when God restored the years the locusts have eaten, they got bumper harvest. And you shall eat, he says, in plenty and be satisfied. You know, when I was preparing this, it made me think about Jesus' parable of the sower. At the end of the parable, Jesus speaks of harvest that could be how many folds? 30, 60, and 100. Right? So we've got 30, 60, and 100 fold. The parable of the sower. I'm trying to help you understand this principle about getting back locust years by multiplication, right? So here is how it could happen. There is a huge difference between these three, 30, 60, 100. 3 years at 100-fold is as much as 10 years of 30-fold. You got that? You're right. 3 years at 100-fold is as much as 10 years of 30-fold. In other words, 100-fold is going to take 3 years. But if you only get 30-fold, it's going to take 10 years. Restoring the years. Why should we not ask God for 100 in 3 years instead of 30 in 10 years? You know, Spurgeon, one of the great preachers who ever lived, he said, God can do more in a day or a year than all of us can do in a lifetime. And he also said this, one sermon preached in the Holy Ghost will be worth 10,000 preached without him. Then expanding his range, he said, if you go into the Sunday school class with a divine anointing resting on you, there will be more children brought to Christ by a little of your loving teaching than would ever have been by many years of unspiritual talk. So, to end. Listen to the certainty of the divine message. Something spectacular that God wants to do for us. Look at me. I want to do something spectacular for you. What is that something spectacular? He says, look at me. I will restore to you the years that the locust, the swarming locust, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, and any other kind of locust, the years that they have eaten. Your future can be the most fruitful years of your life. And I hope that in your hearts, that is what you are saying right now. Lord, that is what I want. Let's spend a few moments in silence and probably an opportunity to talk to God. Father, do your restoring work and make us the kind of people in which it is accomplished. For Christ's sake. Amen.